Tonight, I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm trying something different, and I decided to try technology. And for those of you who know me, you know this is a real stretch. I don't do technology, and the times when I do it, I don't do it well. So we're going to see what happens. To be perfectly honest, I had very little to do with the technology being used tonight. I did what any, you know, person my age would do when it comes to technology, and I said, "Hey, Lillian, come over here. You get a 15-year-old to do it, you know, because they understand it a lot better than we do." And I said, I need to do a PowerPoint. She said, "Okay, how do you want to do it?" I said, "I don't know. You do it." So Lillian put this together. I told her what I wanted, and she did great. She said, "Do you want me to clean this up? Do you want background? Do you want, you know," she's asking me all these questions. I said, "Lillian, I'm just happy with anything at all." So here we have it tonight. You've got Heather with PowerPoint presentation. It's pretty amazing. Don't get used to it. So tonight we're going to talk. Oh, yeah. I don't need that. You can just do it. You do it. You understand technology. We now have a clicker, but that's probably beyond my ability. So tonight we're going to be talking about a program that has recently been started in the Church of the Nazarene, and it's called Genesis Mesoamerica. And that's their logo, as you can see it behind you. And next we have a map, because if you're not exactly sure where Mesoamerica region is, this is it. Hopefully, maybe. Perhaps. Hold on. Okay. There we go. It's the Mexico, Central America, and Caribbean area of the world. And that's the Mesoamerican region. And this is the region that they're kind of testing this Genesis project. And if it works out, and it looks like it's working out well, but then they might branch out to other world areas. And this is a really exciting program that they have going here. Can you give us our next slide? I'm making Andy work up there. Here we go. I know you can read this, but just in case. Making Christ-like disciples in the urban centers of Mesoamerica. And here's some statistics in this paragraph here. Urban globalization, have you heard about it yet? You know, me? No, I hadn't. If you haven't yet, you will soon. To put it simply, urban globalization is the movement of people leaving rural areas and entering the city. Over 50% of the world's population live in a city of 100,000 people or more. 50%. And that number is estimated to skyrocket to 70% by 2050. That's amazing. So if we want to reach a lot of people, we need to go to the cities because that's where the people are. You might be asking yourself, like we asked ourselves, why are so many people moving to the city? People living around here, you're probably asking that too. I'm thinking, why would anybody want to live in the city? The city is attractive to many because it offers more hope of economic growth, educational opportunities, and modern conveniences. Of course, what they don't put in that paragraph is that in addition to those hopes, sometimes those hopes don't become realities. There's also greater crime, greater poverty, greater, you know, gangs and other social evils going on. Cities can be great places of hope and prosperity. They can also be places of sin and a lot of problems, and kind of the opposite of everything that people hope for. But we want to reach out to the cities. The goal of this Genesis program is to reach into these cities and spread the word of Jesus among them. A lot of these cities have absolutely zero presence of the Church of the Nazarene. And so we want to get in there and spread our church throughout those. The Genesis program is a program of volunteers. There are more and more people in the Church of the Nazarene, more and more missionaries, who are volunteering because with, you know, economic issues and donations are down and so on and so forth, there's a lot of people who feel a call to missions. And so they say, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to volunteer. And some of them might, you know, go move into a city and hold a job and support themselves that way, or they might go on donations of other people. It all depends upon the situation. But we have more and more people who are volunteering. Their heart is just calling them. God is calling them into these places. And they want to go, even if it's as a volunteer. They're more than willing to go. So our volunteers need to apply, just like any other process. So they fill out the application, and if they are accepted, they will receive some training. They receive 6 weeks of online over, computer training, and then they receive 4 weeks of classes in San Domingo in the Dominican Republic. And so they get this training. And some of the kind of the coursework and the classes that they attend cover topics like urban mission, which makes sense, church planting, discipleship, missionary policy, and communication. All good things. Sometimes you can have a heart and have a calling, but you don't have the skills. And we want to make sure that we equip these volunteers with everything they need to go in there and be effective. They want to go in and they want to work, but we need to equip them with the tools to make sure that their efforts see the most fruit possible. We have some videos, and when I was looking at these videos, I went on the website, wonderful website, most of it's in Spanish, because this is a Spanish-speaking region of the world. I don't speak Spanish. I was tempted to call Hannah in and see if maybe she could figure some of it out. But our videos are also mostly in Spanish with the subcaptions, and so hopefully you can keep up with them. But we have some really great videos. But they're doing exciting things, and they're changing lives, they're changing people. And as more and more people change, hopefully that'll spread and it'll become contagious. And family members and neighbors will see this change and want to join in. Very exciting. And kind of a new and creative way of looking at it, to send in these volunteers. I can't remember if I told you or not, or hopefully you picked it up from the video, but they go for a 2-year term. And they work for 2 years after their training is complete and work in these cities. So there's some things here. In Genesis, we believe that a healthy church is a missional church. A healthy church is a missional church. In particular, we believe that a missional church in the city will practice authentic worship of a God that transforms lives through his mercy, grace, and love. Authentic worship. You know, we can come together and we can go through routines and we can go through ritual, and it doesn't make a bit of difference, but that authentic worship. And as we read through these, just kind of think about churches around the world, but also our church here. How are we doing? When you come here, are you truly worshiping God? Or are you coming here out of obligation or just, you know, whatever? Why are you here? Is it that authentic worship? A missional church in the city is a community of believers that embraces the call of God to go and make Christ-like disciples in the nations, both in their surrounding neighborhood and in the world. When I read that one, I thought, well, our church does pretty well with this because we've got so many programs that reach out to the local community and so many that reach out beyond that. We're really a part of a fantastic congregation here, and you do well. And so I read that one. I was like, yeah, you know, we've got it. We've got that one pretty well. Not that we couldn't get better. You can always improve, but we're well on our way. And then the last one, a missional church in the city will be a presence in their neighborhood, living lives of holiness and compassion in very difficult places. I wouldn't exactly call Mifflinburg a very difficult place, but it does remind us to pray for those who are trying to reach out and make God's presence known in these neighborhoods where it is much more difficult and much more challenging. Next one. Whoa, okay. I'm going to flip my page and maybe read this out of the book. I don't know. Can you guys read that? I'm not sure. When I read these, I think this is really neat because, again, this is a Genesis church that we're looking at. But also think about how our church is doing. And one of the things I really like about these 10 statements that they have here is that it's not just pointing out the leadership of the church. It's pointing out each individual. Some of these 10 things are for the leadership, and some of them are for the individual. So let's look at what is a Genesis church, and how are the Genesis churches functioning in the Mesoamerica region, and how well would our church fit in to the definition of a Genesis church? A Genesis church is a church that weekly celebrates services that are relevant to and transformational for its surroundings. How relevant are our services to the needs of our people? How relevant are they to where we are? A Genesis church is a church that serves as a continual presence in its community through the practice of compassion, a continual presence. Church is not something that happens Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday evening. Church should be going on all week long, every moment of every day. When I was in college, my mom had surgery, and I wasn't saved at that point. And up until then, I always thought of church as the building. Church was someplace you went. And my mom was in the hospital for about a month because she doesn't do surgery really well. And so she's in and out of the hospital, and it was kind of hard for a while. And the church, they brought meals, and the one lady took me out for an afternoon. She said, "You just need a break." You know, they were right there in so many real and practical ways. And that was that moment when I realized church has nothing to do with a building. Church is that group of people. And when my mom was in the hospital, I saw church at work. And I wasn't saved, and I wasn't saved after that incident either. It was quite a while down the road, but that just brought me farther down my path of salvation. That one incident, that 1 month of my mom in the hospital, really moved me a lot closer to salvation than anything else when I saw church at work. So a Genesis church is a continual presence through compassion. Number three, a Genesis church creates and utilizes a plan to involve each Nazarene of any age group in discipleship and ministry on the local or district level. Each Nazarene, no one is exempt. It doesn't matter, you know, "Oh, I'm too old, oh, I'm too young, you know, oh, whatever." Everyone should be a part of the church, a part of the plan, and working for the furtherance of his kingdom. A Genesis church is actively involved in the planting of a new congregation in the urban centers. This is one we don't think of a lot in our corner of the world. You know, we don't start sister churches or satellite churches around us. And maybe we should. Maybe we need to think about that more. I don't know. But in the urban centers, this is a big push, is to start these new churches and these satellite churches and keep growing and spreading and reaching more people in more neighborhoods and spreading this. Number five, a Genesis church preaches holiness regularly and practices holiness daily. Here again, I really like this because, you know, you can say, well, you know, it's the leadership. They're the ones that have to do this. Okay, well, that's the preaches holiness regularly and practices holiness daily. That's you. That's you coming and getting fed from those sermons and then going home and living it and being an example to your neighbor. I was talking to my dad. My parents stopped by, and we were talking about different people that do sort of services and travel around and go to different churches. And I said, you know, I really don't like it when it just seems so scripted, you know, and when it just seems choreographed. And they go through their motions of their service, and you're just like, you know, I'm not really sure that's genuine or not, you know. And he was sharing that years and years ago, somebody came to their church and did a program. And he said, I actually knew the guy. I worked in the same office with him. And he said, I really didn't like him. And he said, he came to the church and he did this program and he was all smiles and all Christian and all, you know, everything that you're supposed to be. And then, you know, he went to work Monday morning and he was lazy and he didn't want to do his job and he was grumbling and, you know, he shows up late and, you know, all the things that a Christian is not supposed to be. And you know, he kind of wanted to go up to the guy and say, well, where's the guy I saw Sunday, you know, here Monday morning, you know. It's our responsibility to take what we gain here during the services, to take what the pastor gives us and then go out and live that and be an example to the people around us, so that when they see us, they can say, ah, that's what a Christian is supposed to be like. You know, that is somebody who loves God, somebody who's appealing and makes Christianity appealing and not somebody that you look at and say, oh, man, if I've got to spend eternity with you, you know, that would be its own kind of hell. that's not what we need to be. We need to practice that holiness daily, every moment of our lives. Number six, a Genesis church is a church that intentionally identifies, develops, and sends out pastors, missionaries, and new church planters with a focus on the educational strategy of the denomination. We need to be sending people out. We need to be equipping them. When people are being called to tasks, we need to be sending them. And that idea started in the book of Acts, and it hasn't changed since then. When people are called to go places, we need to work with that, and we need to help them. We need to train them. We need to give them whatever assistance they need to get out there. And our churches should be sending people out, all different kinds of people, you know, not just missionaries, but in any kind of calling we need to help fulfill. Number seven, a Genesis church is a church that assures that the entire congregation and all ministries work within a team and collaborate with a unified mission to make disciples. A church should not be broken up into groups. We don't need cliques in the church. And we can't say, well, you know, the mission department's over there doing this, and the prime timers are over there doing that, and, you know, the caravan people, well, they're an entity in and of themselves, and we really don't care what they do. And, you know, no, it shouldn't be a bunch of individual groups. It needs to be one unified group working together for a common goal. And you can have these groups of people in these different ministries, but we need to always remember that we're part of the whole. Jesus is not divided up into little parts. He's one, and our church needs to be one. And we can have different ministries, and we can do different activities and all these kinds of things, but we need to always remember that our goal should be the same. And just because you're a part of this group doesn't mean that you can't interact with that group or anything like that. That this isn't high school cliques with, you know, all that stuff going on, all the drama. We don't need the drama. We should be one unified organization with common goals and common purposes. And it might look different within the groups, but the goals should be the same. The purpose should be the same. Number eight, a Genesis church is a church that involves everyone in the congregation by interceding for the needs of their community and the world. Interceding. Prayer is a great way to intercede, and that's something that anybody can do. Everyone should be praying for the needs of their church, the needs of their community, and the needs of their world. We have a lot that we can pray for. There's no end of things that we can bring before God. We have a lot that we can praise God for. He answers a lot of prayers, and so we should always be praying and interceding for those around us. Number nine, a Genesis church is a church that generously provides economic resources to finance the mission of the city, their district, and the world. Again, you know, we have these offerings, and you guys are always so generous and so kind, and our church does a lot, and I think this is one of them that again, we really kind of excel at. And I think the world of our church. This is a fantastic congregation. I know I say that over and over and over, but you really are. And this is one. But a Genesis church is one that gives. It's not one that just keeps to itself, but it gives and spreads out that love. And it's so important. And number 10, a Genesis church is a church that self-evaluates and communicates results to various levels of leadership, making changes when indicated. This is a hard one. This is one that a lot of people really struggle with because we get locked into, well, we've always done it this way. You know, we've been having this program for the last 50 years. We can't change that, you know, or whatever. But we need to self-evaluate. We need to sometimes stop and say, okay, these are the resources we have, whether it's financial or personnel or whatever, that, you know, space, sometimes resource. This is the resources we have. What is the best way we can use these resources? How can we be the best stewards of what God has blessed us with? And come up with creative ways of doing this. And sometimes that means doing it the way we've always been doing it. Maybe that really is the best. But sometimes that means saying, you know, this program could be improved. What if we changed it to look more like this? Or what if we added that to it and took this part away? How can we change this and make it the most effective? Are we being the best stewards of what God has given us? And that is hard. That is really hard. But that's something that every church needs to stop and do. We need to look at what we're doing and why we're doing it and say, you know, are we doing this for our glory? Are we doing this for God's glory? Are we doing this because it's effective? Or are we doing this because it's the way we've always done it? Those are tough questions. Sometimes it's really hard to find the honest answer behind them. But it's important that we do that if our church is going to grow and thrive. So we need to kind of look at each one of these. And even though this is for a Genesis church in an urban setting, and we are most certainly not in an urban setting, we need to look at these and evaluate our own church as we pray for other churches as well. We have another video, and this one's kind of a challenge, not just for Genesis churches, but also for us.
¿Lo sientes?
Do you feel it?
¿Sabes que Dios te quiere para servir?
¿Tu corazón empieza a latir más fuerte cuando escuchas lo que Dios está haciendo en el mundo entero?
Yo lo siento. Y yo dije que sí.
Yo lo siento. Y yo dije que sí. Mi nombre es Jessica Delgado Gómez.
Mi nombre es Luz Lastenia Jiménez Avendaño y soy de México.
Mi nombre es Freya y soy de México.
My name is Richard Brash. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland in the United States of America.
Mi nombre es Alejandra. Soy de Guatemala.
Mi nombre es Eunice Zaragoza y soy de México.
Mi nombre es Freddy López y soy de México.
Mi nombre es Merit Córdoba y soy de México.
My name is Karen Brash and I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, United States of America.
Mi nombre es Lauter René Gutiérrez Méndez y soy del Distrito Sur de México.
Mi nombre es Helen Herrera, soy de Costa Rica.
Mi nombre es Marvin Leonel Arc Rodríguez y soy del Distrito Baja Verapaz, Guatemala.
Mi nombre es Daniela González Guerrero, soy del Distrito Oaxaca, en México.
Y nosotros somos misioneros en Génesis.
Cada día Dios está cambiando la vida de las personas en la ciudad donde yo vivo.
Los niños están invitando a Jesús en su corazón.
Los jóvenes están hablando con amor en vez de hacerlo con odio.
Los adultos están hambrientos de conocer más de Jesús y están ansiosos por compartirlo con sus vecinos.
Los matrimonios y las familias están siendo restaurados.
Dios puso su plan en acción y yo soy parte de eso.
Ser un misionero voluntario me ha cambiado.
Diariamente, mis pies caminan en fe.
My heart breaks for people who need to know Jesus.
Yo he aprendido cómo vivir y amar otra cultura.
Yo deseo ver una comunidad libre del poder del pecado.
He visto el poder del Dios viviente transformando vidas.
And I will never be the same again.
Yo nunca seré la misma otra vez.
Gracias por creer en mí.
Gracias por orar por mí.
Gracias por enviarme a mí.
La pregunta es, ¿qué hay de ti?
¿Te ha llamado Dios ante mí?
¿Es tu tiempo también para caminar en fe?
¿Es tu deseo ser parte de un ministerio que cambia vidas?
El plan de Dios ya está en acción.
¿Estás listo para ser parte de él?
Are you ready to be part of it?
¿Estás listo para ser parte de él?
Genesis is changing lives in the Mesoamerican region. Children are coming to know the Lord. Relationships are being restored. Marriages are being strengthened. All the things that they spoke about there. And what a blessing to these missionaries. I thought it was really neat when they were speaking about how, you know, they were called, and their being sent is an answer to their prayers. And when they're going, they're an answer to somebody else's prayers. They're working with these hurting people and showing them hope and showing them love and showing a different kind of life. And that's exciting. I love the line, you know, does your heart beat faster when you hear about missions? You know, does your heart beat faster when you hear about transformed lives? Does it thrill you to know that people are coming to know Jesus and to change their lives and to become better people because of the work of these missionaries? And I hope that you can say yes. With the service this morning, with the Romanian speaker, and what's going on there, and then tonight with what's happening in the Mesoamerica region, does it thrill you? Does it give you joy? Do you praise God for his hand at work in these areas of the world? And I hope that you can say yes. And I also hope, just as at the end of that, what about you? Are you doing something to change the lives of the people around you? Are you praying for people? Are you trying to give good Christian counsel to the hurting people around you? When you know that people are hurting and needy, are you trying to meet those needs? Are you, you know, trying to give good godly advice? Are you trying to strengthen marriages? Are you trying to show children a better way? There's a lot of exciting work to be done, and I hope that you have a part in God's plan with the people around you. Here's a list of things to pray for in urban areas, and it's kind of interesting as I was looking over it because I thought, you know, we certainly do not live in an urban area, to put it mildly. But yet, we have a lot of these things right here. And I encourage you to pray for the Genesis program in Mesoamerica. But I also encourage you to think about these things and pray for them within our own church. And especially when I read that first one, broken families. How many broken families do we have within our own congregation? We need to pray for the strength of our families, for the restoration of our marriages, for the relationship between parents and children. Pray for our broken families. Pray for our single parents. Single parents are everywhere in the world, and these single parents sometimes need help raising these kids. Single moms, you know, these kids just need a good, strong man in their life, and if you can help out men and be sort of a surrogate father to some of these kids, or if it's a dad that's raising them, women, if you could step in and show these kids the love of a mother and take on a bit of a responsibility in these situations, what a difference you can make. Pray for the protection of children exposed to domestic violence. Unfortunately, again, this is everywhere. We have it in our own church. Just go and talk to some of the kids in the caravan program or in the teen program. We've got domestic violence going on, and these kids see so much that I just can't even imagine, and yet they're right there exposed to it. Pray for these kids. Pray for the gang activity. Obviously, that's a little bit more prevalent in the cities, but you know, from what I've heard, we've got it around here too. So pray for the gang activity to end, or in our case, maybe to not even start. Pray for the young adults. Pray for the young adults addicted to drugs. Drugs are everywhere. They always have been, I think. But pray. Pray for our teens, that they'll have the strength to resist these temptations. Pray for the adults that got hooked and are still there, and it's ruining their lives, and they can't get out of that deadly trap. Pray that they'll get that help that they need. And most of all, pray for people to know the Lord. There are people all around us that don't know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And pray for them and try to intercede in their lives. Be that good witness, that good example, that one that they look to and say, there's something different about you. Be that person in their lives and help them and encourage them. And hopefully they one day will know the Lord. And then they'll be praying for somebody else, and it'll just continue on. And so pray for these different needs around the world, both in the Mesoamerican region, our own region, and then just everywhere around the world. Our world is a needy place, but we've got the answer. We've got the one who can meet the needs, and we need to remember that we have those answers, and we need to hand those answers out at every opportunity. You know, when you were in school, if somebody had the answers to the upcoming test, you know, everybody wanted those answers. The world hasn't changed much. We've got the answers, and everybody wants them. Sometimes they don't realize it. Sometimes they don't know that what they're searching for. But we have those answers, and we need to spread them out and be generous with those answers. Be generous with the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ to the world around us. So let's close with a word of prayer, and then you're dismissed. Heavenly Father, I thank you again that we could meet here. God, I thank you for showing us this glimpse into the Mesoamerican region. And God, I thank you for these volunteers, these people who have given up so much of their lives to go into the urban centers, into sometimes where it's dangerous and it's scary. God, I'm sure there's a lot of unknowns there for them, but you've given them a boldness and a willingness and a desire to go into these areas. And Lord, we praise you for that. And I ask that you would keep these volunteers protected, keep them effective, help them to spread your love and your word. And God, may lives be changed, may communities be changed, may marriages be changed. God, may we see restoration in the cities where they are at. And God, as people are changed, may it just spread and may it ripple out into the surrounding neighborhoods, Lord, and may your work just be seen in amazing ways. And God, we praise you for all that has already happened, for each changed life. And God, we beg you for more. We can never see enough, and we just want to see great things happening in these urban areas. And God, we give you all the credit and all the glory. And it's your name we pray. Amen. Have a good evening. Thank you for coming.